Hey, everybody, welcome back. Thank you very much for tuning in. You are listening to the Dom and Colin podcast. My name is Colin, and I'm here with Dom. Dom, how's it going?
It's going suitably, I guess. How are you?
I'll take suitably, given that you can't be that happy to see me here.
Certainly not, although, you know, who knows if my mood will change over the next hour and a half or so.
Yeah, I was gone last week. Big thank you to Ian Terry for filling in. That was a really fun podcast to listen to. Of course, we are back today to talk about episode 11, if you can believe it. This is flying by, of the Genius Grand Final. You know, the two finalists are set. It will be Dongmin against K-Hound. Can't wait to see how all that goes down. But first, we will be breaking down how all of this final three played out.
Yeah, I remember it must have been like 2.5 months ago now when we were waiting with bated breath for the first episode, the translation to drop. And now we maybe have one episode left of the entire Genius franchise. So it's the end is really creeping up on us. And I'm not going to be happy to see it gone if this is indeed the end. But I mean, what a season it's been so far. And this promises to be a fantastic conclusion to it as well.
I remember thinking, you know, back 2.5 months ago, I would pay $500 to just fast forward 2.5 months and I could just watch all of these episodes back to back to back. And now here we are, and I'm thinking to myself, I wish I could go back in time and go to the point where I still had all of this left to be seen for the first time. And my expectations were, you know, peaking. And before I knew that they would even be met and potentially exceeded.
Yeah, I retweeted Koz's comment that he pities anybody who doesn't watch The Genius, and somebody chimed in with the thought that surely it's the other way around, like you envy them because they haven't watched it, and so they get to watch it all afresh for the first time. And he compared it to The Wire, which is blasphemy in my view, but I think the overall point is sound.
Yeah, well, hey, some good news on The Genius front as far as The Genius takeover is concerned. I have heard from Josh Wigler that he is watching and loving season 2 right now. He just watched season 2, episode 6 yesterday and had some hysterical comments about that. So that's going really well. I feel like Josh could really tip it over the edge in getting Rob Sesternino to watch. And then I feel like the floodgates just pour wide open.
It seems to me like Sesternino
break wide open.
Is just...
I don't know why they're pouring.
Sure. It seems to me like Rob is determined not to watch it and enjoy it for some reason. But I think if there is anyone who could move the needle, there it is, Josh Wigler. So hopefully there will be some progress on that front.
Yeah. I think Rob, you know, once he checks it out, I'm sure he'll get into it. Sophie started it yesterday, I think. So that's very cool, too. So maybe she could do some work.
Yeah, Sophie... Yeah, I don't know if she'll end up loving it or hating it. I can see her hating it because she seems to hate everything that's of high quality. But, you know, I mean, maybe there's some hope in the world for her.
Yeah. And one other thing, at least from me, that I want to get to before we get into this new episode. We got a comment last night on one of our old, actually the newest blog post that we put up on our website from a new listener named Martha, who was frustrated with us that we didn't have a logo on our iTunes page. So she made us a logo, and Dom, I don't know if you've even seen this yet, but this is a phenomenal logo. It combines the Big Brother logo and the Survivor logo with a garnet from The Genius. This is fantastic stuff.
Yeah, and she said that she just put it together very quickly as well, so it's not even any like grand effort. So, I mean, taking that into account as well, it's a really fantastic job. So, yeah, the random picture of Aristotle that I found on Google 3.5 years ago, it was a good run. You've done some solid work for us, but I think your time has come.
Yeah, so once again, just huge shout out to Martha for that. That was fantastic. And one other thing, Dom, I guess, before we get into this new episode, is I was gone last week, so I would love, if you don't mind, if we could give some parting thoughts on Jinho, because I do think that's one of the most meaningful exits we'll ever see on The Genius.
Okay, well, we'll go ahead then, because I gave some thoughts on him last week. I feel like I'm in the minority in thinking that Jinho is fine, but nothing to really write home about. But he does seem to have this very dedicated following and lots of people who do see him as like the icon of the show. So I know that you're not necessarily one of those, but you seem to think that this is maybe more momentous than I do. So give your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I guess for me at least, Jinho just was obviously such a huge presence on the entire course of the franchise of The Genius. You know, the winner of season 1, he was kind of the underdog, lovable hero who ended up taking it down and breaking his second place curse. He comes back with Sangmin for season 2 and leaves his mark there. He returns, wins his kind of revenge match in season 3, or not revenge match, but you know, his guest match in season 3, and then puts on a pretty impressive showing here in season 4, I guess. You know, we've certainly had our squabbles with some of his decision making, but regardless, he did stay out of the death match until the final 4, so at least for me, I feel like Jinho leaving, especially when he was this close to potentially winning again, is a pretty big deal.
It's impressive in the sense that, like, Yondu making it to the final four in season three is impressive. Like, just being there, not really contributing much, falling in line behind Dongmin, not really acting as their own agent in any particular capacity.
Well, I agree with that. Like, I don't even think that's a bad comparison as far as people who have made the final four without really, you know, doing as much as some of the other people who have made the final four, I guess is a generous way to put it. Where, yeah, he has kind of not been dragged along, but probably gotten pretty lucky to be there, especially without having to win a death match or two. But I do think just because of his history with the show, he won season one, and then he was, you know, potentially really close to getting the token of immortality and winning and being in a good position to win season two. He's not Yanju in that sense, I would say, where it is a big deal because he's Jinha. Like, this, I wouldn't disregard his history with the show. So yeah, GG Jinho, and let's get into this new episode now. We get this kind of promo here for all of the possible final three combinations, getting us jacked up, but it really stood out to me, and this was certainly one of the running themes of the last few episodes, that the Hyunmin kind of will he win edit is pretty lackluster. And of course, we end up seeing him go out this week. Not really that big of a surprise, I would say, with that in mind.
Yeah, I was fairly sure that Kyung Hoon would be the one to take him down, and so when we had this big reveal at the end, I was fully expecting Dongmin to still emerge triumphant, despite the best efforts of the editors to make it seem suspenseful, but in fact it was Dongmin who was the one to go to the death match, face off against Hyunmin in a rematch of the finals from last season, and actually end up beating him in his own game, effectively, because 12 Jangi was the only time when Hyunmin was really able to demonstrate that he was better than Dongmin, and Dongmin was just able to overturn that in what seemed like a fairly big blowout in his favor. So yeah, he just continues to look more and more impressive every week.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I loved here early on, Hyunmin walks in with this like massively oversized novelty garnet pouch. That was great, and they got all mad when they took him away from him. Yeah, actually, let's talk about the prize pool. Of course, we had 100 garnets even entering this. I thought they were going to just keep it at 100. I thought it was possible, because Sangmin had said 200 in the premiere and they had left that in, that they might just like generously double it to make it the $200 prize or 200,000 prize pool. Instead, what they end up doing is they're going to put back in the 32 extra garnets worth of money that got removed from the prize pool. Yeah. So this week's game, we're actually going to be playing with guests once again. Now, Dom, when we saw a preview that we were going to be playing with guests, I was at least concerned that it may be like the season two final three match with the guests, where the guests would have so much influence to the point that they were able to dictate the outcome, where like Sangmin was just colluding with the guests, and that was a free ticket into the finals. Thankfully, that was not the case here.
Yeah, and I wonder if the producers gave them certain constraints beforehand on, you know, what kind of values they would be able to offer for each of the products, because you can imagine if they wanted to kind of warp the game around their own decisions, they could quite easily have done that. So let's say I'm going to give a very high offer for every single item and just jack the price up to the point where you can't hope to make a realistic bid on all 10 items, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it was good. You know, they kept them separated. They said there was never to be any kind of individual contact. And to your point about kind of restraining their bids, I think there's definitely something to that. I was thinking, like, if you just get five people to estimate their prices for certain things, for certain items, there is a very low, like, or for, you know, and you're having them do it for 10 items with a vastly different price range, there is an extremely low chance that they all wind up within that kind of distribution of each other, right? Like, it seems like a lot of people just have vastly different ideas. And I say this as a person who has played a lot of Laden Thinks, which is a great game, but some people are just crazy bad at estimation. Yeah, so I definitely would say there is something to the idea that the producers gave them ranges there. Any thoughts on any of these guests? I think the one standout was, of course, the woman who does the impeccable Bruce Lee impression.
Yeah, she was great. I thought Leah was not a strange choice in the sense that, of course, if you have the other cast members there, then she's going to come along, but she felt kind of out of place almost.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, and it was kind of telling right away when they were introducing all of them that the first four got like a few, like, you know, 10, 15 second clip of them doing something funny. And Leah, it just goes, "Hi, I'm Leah." And Hyunmin goes, "Oh, she's tall." And that's the end of Leah's introduction. And then that's basically the end of Leah's episode here. Although, by the way, I would have definitely taken the over on Ian Terry tweeting something about how Leah could be his Korean SNL QT 3.14.
I don't know. I'm not sure she's really Ian's type. Although, having said that, I couldn't really tell you anything about any of the male guest stars either. So, I mean, maybe she does have something going for her.
Yeah. All right. So the game today is called How Much? And as mentioned, the guests have already put in these bids on 10 different items. They've set their prices for how much they would pay for whatever the thing in question is. And the genius players get to kind of like interrogate them and get a sense for how they're feeling about each of these products, in each round. And then after the end of the discussion period, the genius players are going to bid. And the person who puts the highest number without going over the highest guest bid wins the points for that round. The first 7 rounds are worth 1 point each. Rounds 8 and 9 are worth 2. And round 10 is worth 4. So, Dom, round 10 seems pretty important.
Yeah, and I think you can make the case that it's almost too important, where unless somebody does just win like 7 out of 9 of the first few rounds, of the first 9 rounds, then it's almost always going to come down to round 10. And I think it's one of those cases where what's good for TV is not necessarily what's best for the game in an abstract sense, because what you don't want to happen in this final 3 episode is one person does take that lead early, it becomes insurmountable, and then you already know what the outcome is going to be, because in every other prior episode, even if one person does cement themselves as a winner, you still have this question of who's going to be last and who's going to go to the deathmatch, whereas here, the two things are tied. So as soon as one person wins, you know who the deathmatch players are going to be. We see Dongmin get out of this 3-point lead early. If that carried over into a 5 or 6-point lead that couldn't be overcome, well, you may as well just end the episode right there because you know what's going to happen.
Right, exactly. Like when I was watching early on and Dongmin did take that 3-0 lead, I was pretty confident thinking, this is going to have to turn around here because they don't have an episode. And I think that's why round 10, I think it's hard to say that it's overvalued, like that it's worth too much, because I think when your production, above all, what you don't want is exactly what you just said, where someone just takes a big enough lead that it's over, with several rounds left still to be played. What you don't want is the blackout game where after the first team is gone, the second team automatically wins. There's nothing the other team can do. And for that reason, you have to have that last round be worth enough to overcome any reasonable kind of gap.
Although the other side of that is we do see all of the 3 players at various points just not even bother to try in a round because they're just saving points up for round 10, which suggests that maybe it could have been balanced a bit more in the other direction.
Well, I feel like that's just smart strategy when it is, when you only have that 200,000 budget and round 10 is worth so much. It comes down to, first of all, who recognizes that round 10 is worth so much? And secondly, this game becomes a math problem, which to me is a totally fine way of determining who gets a ticket to the finals. This game is 100% logic.
Yeah, it is smart, and you do get these fun moments where one player like tries to win, and the other players don't even put points in, so they feel like they just like second guess themselves. But at the same time, it doesn't. Like, I understand that it's good strategy for one person to bow out of the round, but it doesn't really make for great TV most of the time. It's just if you see them not even bothering to try, then you get the sense of why even have that question in there in the first place.
Well, I don't think it's going to be the case, and maybe it's still interesting if it is the case where all 3 of them don't bother to try in a given round. Like, that's just, to me, part of the strategic, one of the very basic strategic ideas of the games, which is this is 100% about just, like, budget conservation and maximizing your bid efficiency, where you're going to be smart in a lot of spots to be bidding very low on a lot of rounds so you can save up for the more meaningful rounds, and that's just part of the game. Yeah. All right. So I think this is a really, really brilliant game design, and certainly one of my favorite, probably my favorite Final 3 game that they've ever run, I would say. So any other rules that we skipped over or anything like that?
Yeah, the other rule that is going to play a big part here is the items are given in ascending order of total bids, and Dongmin uses this to his advantage in one of these early rounds where he has an idea of what the normal high bid might be, but he realizes it just wouldn't make any sense for this item to come here if that was the high bid, so he then adjusts his guess to make sure that it's closer to the mark.
Right, yeah, he knew because of the previous round's total that someone had to have bid really, really high here. Yeah, so that definitely, I think, is a big deal. And I know we kind of touched on this, but I think it's interesting, and it will come up in the first round here, where if 2 players tie they both end up with the winning bid, if the third person is under, that third person is the winner. There are no splitting points or anything here. So that comes into play in a really interesting spot early on where between the public and private questions, where, you know, each round they'll ask a public question and then each of them gets to ask a private question. They all have deduced that the number one score is exactly 1,000 and they know who it is. So it just becomes a pure leveling war of, well, if I put 1,000 and someone else puts 1,000, then we'll both lose. But if I don't put 1,000, then I'm opening the door for someone to put 1,000 by themselves.
Yeah, and it also comes up in the most important round, or you might say the only important round, in round 10, where both Kyung-hoon and Dongmin have a fairly good idea of what the actual bid should be. And the moment that Kyung-hoon decides to lock in his score for that, there's no way for Dongmin to actually win the game anymore, because if he matches Kyung-hoon's bid, then they tie and Hyunmin gets enough points instead. But if he goes, if he undercuts Kyung-hoon's bid, then Kyung-hoon just gets the 4 points and wins by himself. So despite going into that last round as the leader, there's nothing he can really do to save himself.
Right. Yeah. So I think this game just leads to all kinds of really interesting scenarios like that.
Yeah, although it's interesting that they try to like recapture this Korean panel show kind of atmosphere, I think. Because from what I understand, talk shows modeled around that style are fairly popular in Korea. And so I think maybe they were trying to recreate that in some fashion.
Isn't that the case in England, too? Isn't it mostly panel shows?
I wouldn't know, but not really, I don't think. Not to the same extent, at least.
Yeah, what would you know about England?
Nothing much, to be honest.
Yeah. Did you think that, I know we talked about how there's no real collusion involved. Did you think there was any kind of advantage that Dongmin had in knowing these people and being a famous comedian himself?
Yeah, he did seem to have some kind of prior connection or relationship with some of them. And had it been a game where they could directly participate in the outcome, like it was the Yunori game from the Final Three of last season or something like that, then that would have been a bigger concern for me. But it seemed like it didn't really play too big a part. Like they weren't colluding. They weren't actually doing anything to determine the outcome. So I think maybe you can say in one sense he found it easier to get inside their heads, but he was already pretty good at that anyway. So I don't think he was really, I don't think it helped him unfairly in any way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's arguable that because he knows them and knows their personalities, maybe he could get a better grasp on what they might feel about certain things, but it's not like they've developed some sort of code, like Evil Dick and his HOH letters or whatever, where they can signal to him what they bet.
Yeah, though I would have loved if at the end, like, the music changes and suddenly we get this reveal that the whole time, like, Leah was passing notes to Dongmin or something. Yeah. The top secret method.
That would have been incredible. But yeah, I'm totally with you. I don't think it was that big of a deal. Okay, Kyung-hoon gets the first point. Dongmin here wins round two with the exact right bid because he's Jang Dongmin. And of course, he hits it right on the head. Round three here, Hyunmin goes for 3,000 and Kyung-hoon matches him again at 3,000. And Dongmin, this is the one we talked about, where Dongmin knew that it just had to be a massive number. And we've been over that, where Dongmin goes for 10,000. He gets that point as well as the next one. And suddenly he's off to a great start here at 3,001.
Yeah, and it struck me as kind of odd that, at least at this stage, because later on we do see Hyunmin add some weird things to his totals, but at this stage of the game, they are all giving these clearly rounded numbers, which means it's much more likely that if they are in the, like, the same ballpark, they will end up clashing with each other. I guess the issue is, if you think you're trying to hit it right on the nose, obviously going up by a bit or going down by a bit is going to carry some risk with it. So do you think that was unnecessarily risky on their part, or was that just the right play in general?
Okay, well, I think the answer to that question is figuring out the two things you have to balance, where I think the reason they're going for round numbers potentially is they think the guests are also going to be picking round numbers for their answers, where if you want to get it spot on and ensure that unless someone also gets it spot on along with you, you're going to get the point, then it's probably going to be a round number. But I think, honestly, a bigger priority for me, especially when it's in these lower numbers where we're, you know, when the numbers are lower, the range is narrower, and so you're more likely to be matching with someone else, I would definitely be putting just weird random cents onto the end of all of my bids to make sure that, above all, I am not matching anyone else, unless I've run just horrifically bad. But every bid that I make, especially if I think I would probably go slightly under the, you know, my projection with a very, you know, 37 cents or whatever.
Yeah, there is one consideration where, like, let's say I expect the total to be 3,000. I bid 3,000 and you bid 3,000. Obviously, in that situation, I'm not going to get it. So maybe I think, well, I'll bid, you know, 2,900, because then if you were going to bid 3,000, I wasn't going to get it anyway. And if you're not going to bid 3,000, I may as well leave some back. But then you get in the situation where maybe I need you specifically to not get any points. So if I clash with you, then maybe that helps me anyway.
Yeah, oh, I think there is potentially like almost a defensive aspect if you can read people's souls that clearly, where if you know, like the 10th round is a good example of this, where Dongmin knows that Kyung-hoon is going to put 100,000 even. Like when you are that confident, then you do have the option to block the person if you're so inclined or not block them. My thought on that would be, say I'm that confident and I know you are spot on, that you have the right number and that the best I can do is block you. If it's anything before the final round, if I know that you're on the right number and someone else is lower than that, I cannot win. So what I'm going to do is just bid as little as possible and save my money for the end, right? Because isn't one of the big priorities here having as much money as you can going into that last round to make sure that whatever the range you find yourself faced with is something you could actually put down?
Well, I was thinking where you still do want the points of that round and you think there is a chance that they will just overshoot it. Like, if you think it's likely that they'll get the right answer but not perfectly likely, then you still want to give yourself a chance there. But there are some rounds later on where it's like you don't want to be competing for the 1 point in the round because you're wasting money that you want to save for the final round. And so even if you are in the mix with the right answer, then that's not necessarily a good thing for you. And if you think the others are going to be near the right answer, then there's a chance that even if you get in there yourself, you're going to clash with them. So you may as well make a low bid, stay out of it, and then save your money for the next round.
Yeah, and I really like that aspect of it. I know we talked about this when we talked about just how much we like the game design in general, but I like that they have this, right, you know, all things considered, pretty limited budget here where they have to be taking into account that they will run out of money if they keep putting reasonable bids down. So they have to pick and choose their spots. Like, I think that adds an extra I'm always a fan of it when they give players extra room to make mistakes, and the best players are the ones who are going to be the ones who are less likely to make mistakes. So Hyunmin, now down 3-1-0, recognizes he has to do quite a bit. And he ends up actually winning the next three rounds with some pretty strategic bidding. And so we are now faced with 3-3-1, and Kyung-hoon recognizes that this is getting potentially dire here. He picks up the next round, and so it looks like, Dom, just the way God drew it up, it's all going to come down to round 10. Whoever wins round 10 is going to win this game and will, you know, secure their place in the finals. So let's get down to how all of this went down. And I think now is the time to get into Kyung-hoon's master plan, because we see, as we mentioned, he locks in his bid on 100,000, and Dongmin recognizes that that's probably going to be the right number. Kyung-hoon is your winner here, and the way that he did it is he found the guy with the kind of mustache, because he was the guy who spent the most money, and just tracked every single, or virtually every bid that he made, so he would know come endgame time almost exactly how much money he had left.
Yeah, and that makes sense. It's not completely foolproof because you need for that person to have bid the most money on round 10 as well. And they are more likely than anyone else to do that because they are the one with the highest total. However, you know, there is a possibility that, let's say, their big bid that really pushes them over the top comes in like round 7 or round 8, where it's big enough to move the total, but then their round 10 bid is still in the middle of the pack, and so you don't really have too much to go on. That said, nobody else really has anything to go on either, because there are no clues in round 10, so this at least gives you a decent shot of being right, and if you are right, then it's going to win you the game almost all of the time.
Right, exactly, where the logic behind it is, since this guy had spent the most money on all of his bids combined, my first thought would be somewhere in there, presumably round 10, is going to be some jackpot item where everyone spent way more than they spent on anything else. And that's why I would feel like the guy who spent the most money was more likely than he would be in general to be the one who spent the most on round 10, just because I feel like the way the game is set up, they're going to put in that kind of like big jackpot item.
Yeah, and it's crucial for this to work that the round 10 question is the kind of question that everyone would bid something high for, because if it's one where one person might just randomly bid 10 times what everyone else bid, then that could really swing the balance. But in this one, if everyone's going to be inclined to bid roughly the same, then that general tendency of, oh, I bid more than the other, so I'm going to bid more here as well, is going to kick in, or so you would think.
Yeah. And bonus points, by the way, for Kyung-hoon on picking up on the fact that they were only betting in round numbers, or at least this guy was. And I'm wondering if maybe they realized just everyone was betting in round numbers. Like, maybe there was a rule that production said you have to bet in round numbers if you're one of the guests. But the genius players, of course, could use these tiny increments for leveling wars.
Yeah, or if not, I think they would still just mostly bet in round numbers anyway, because you ask people to give like a general estimate of something, it's going to be 5,500. It's not going to be 5,643, right? It's going to be a number which is more like immediately relatable.
How much would you pay for this coffee? I would pay pi dollars for that coffee. But I'm really curious, because it seemed like Dongmin was positive that Kyung-hoon knew and everyone knew that the guy put 100,000 in round 10. So I'm wondering if the players also knew that the guests were instructed to bet in round numbers, and that's why he could be so sure.
Yeah, because the fact that they both arrived at the same number, like I saw some people say that maybe Dongmin was making excuses for himself after the fact as to why he didn't win, but it seems like it would be a pretty big coincidence in that case for them to arrive at exactly the same number and then shift the points in Kyung-hoon's direction. So, like, clearly he knew roughly what the total was going to be, and maybe, like, he out-leveled himself by undercutting it or something, but, you know, they at least had the same general idea. So I think, like, maybe he was sincere about that, but then, as we said, it seems so strange, especially knowing what we know about both Kyung-hoon and Hyunmin from Season 3. Like, coming into the season, if you said, Dongmin will have to choose at Final 3, I will play against Kyung-hoon or Hyunmin for my slot in the finals, you would not put any money at all on him choosing Hyunmin there whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah, I mean, to me at least, I don't feel like I have a reason to not believe Dongmin when it seems like his story completely checks out as far as what he would do there if he was telling the truth about knowing that Kyung-hoon picked 100,000 and that Hyunmin was lower, where what he would do is, of course, bet just under 100,000 on the off chance that Kyung-hoon didn't end up doing that. But at the same time, he is deciding the person that he wants to end up playing with. And I think his reasons actually made sense and seemed like they had been thought out ahead of time as for why he wanted to play against Hyunmin. So I definitely would tend to believe Dongmin in this kind of scenario. Yeah. So there you have it, Dom. Kyung-hoon is on to the finals. Dongmin made his choice, at least allegedly. He's going to be playing Hyunmin, and we know that we are playing 12 Jangi. This time we're playing best 2 out of 3. But before we get into how it went down, how much time do you think these three guys spent practicing 12 Jangi? And do you think, like, Hyunmin, I would guess Hyunmin probably spent more time, but do you think it would be substantially enough more time that it could have made a difference? I know he ended up losing, but do you feel like preparation was an issue at all for either of these people?
It's tough to say, because like you said, I imagine Hyunmin would have been practicing just intensively himself as well, as would Kyung-hoon. So, maybe Dongmin's preparation was more effective than Hyunmin's for some reason, or maybe the gap between them initially was not as large as maybe we were led to believe. So maybe Dongmin being slightly behind Hyunmin but doing a bit more practice, like, made him leapfrog over Hyunmin in their like respective skill levels. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It stands out to me. I'm sure Kyung-hoon was spending every waking minute playing 12 Jangi. That I have no doubt about. Hyunmin, I would have thought would be practicing a ton. And I really don't feel like Dongmin would be putting in that kind of work. But he totally held his own. He ends up going on to win here 2-0. And he seemed to be seeing most of the stuff and not making any kind of like egregious blunders or anything. Like, I can't recall even a major mistake that he made. I guess Hyunmin had theoretically a winning position at one point, but Dongmin, to his credit, got out of that. So I feel like Dongmin almost really demonstrated to me just yet again how just naturally talented he is at stuff, even especially against someone like Hyunmin, who is certainly not going to be making many mistakes. Yeah. So, I mean, 12 Jangi, not the most interesting game in the world to be recapping. It's hard. It's not like we can use algebraic notation and people can follow along. So I guess, yeah, Dom, let's get into, I suppose, parting thoughts here on Hyunmin.
Well, my wallet is not happy to see him go. I'm not that happy either. I thought, you know, he was a bit lackluster this season, certainly not as great as he was in Season 3. That said, for him to just still be there at the end, at Final 3 with decent chances to win, like, as we said pre-season, you don't need to be doing anything impressive or flashy in the main matches as long as you can survive. And, you know, Jin-ho tried to embody that philosophy this season. He got to Final 4. Hyunmin, Hyunmin tried to do flashy things, ended up failing, was able to make it this far anyway. So I think proving a lot of the fundamental points that people make about the genius. And had he gone on to win again, like, it would have been underwhelming in a sense, but then if you look at it on paper, like, he gets second in Season 3, which I know you and others have said was maybe the most competitive of the regular seasons. Then he comes back for All-Stars and wins that back-to-back. That would have been a very impressive resume. So, you know, I can say what I want about him, but I would have to bow down to that.
Yeah, I mean, certainly one of the most impressive players, at least for me, that I've ever seen, not only on The Genius, but on reality TV. Like, I still stand by... I still stand by it through at least the first three seasons. I think the two most impressive main match performances as far as actually within the game were both Hyunmin in the chain auction and also in... I thought... Maybe I'm just overrating it, but I loved him in the jury game. Super sad to see him go here in some respects, where I would have loved to see Hyunmin back in the finals and being the only person, you know, had it gone where Dongmin loses here, Hyunmin would be the only person ever to not be eliminated from the Genius.
Yeah, and I wonder how much our perception of him, at least in the later half of the season, is colored by the fact that he does finish just short of the finals, because if he lost to Kyunghoon, let's say, or lost to Dongmin, I think they would do a lot more to build him up so that finals matchup would be interesting. But instead, you know, those are the two that get most of the attention. Hyunmin was not giving them much to work with in the main matches, it looks like, and so they had an excuse just to almost bury him completely. And so there's really no lasting memory of him on this season, whereas, like you said, in season three, his highs were very high indeed. Like, his, when he solved the games, they were some of the most impressive single episode performances in any of the three seasons now, and maybe any of the four seasons. So, you know, if you flip the seasons around and we got to see season four first and then season three second, like, we'd be saying Hyunmin maybe isn't anything to write home about, but then he comes back for season three and, oh, look, this is incredible, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that the timing is different makes us think of it in a different way.
I almost feel like on The Genius, at least lately, and maybe this is just coincidence, and it certainly wasn't the case in season one when Sangmin went out in third place, but it seems like kind of the way we talk about the Survivor losing finalist edit almost seems like the third place edit on The Genius lately, where it's Junghyun and then Dr. Yeonsung and now Hyunmin here, all of whom I would say were by far the most underwhelming characters in their respective final threes.
How dare you, Colin?
I know. I'm sorry. In all three of those cases, as big of a Dr. Yeonsung fan as I am, I was actively rooting for them to all lose in each scenario. Like, I was not rooting for Hyunmin here.
Yeah, the obvious counterexample is Sangmin, but I think season one you can't really use as a precedent, because a lot of the stuff that we see in the later seasons is markedly different, and I think were they to do season one again, they would maybe edit it differently knowing what they know now. So I don't know if that's really a counterexample or not. But yeah, I think Hyunmin does fall into that, like, whatever the opposite of a sweet spot is, where he is, he goes late enough that you have to show him a bit, but then he falls just short, and so there's no reason to show him any more than you have to.
Does Hyunmin 1.0 have more equity than Hyunmin 2.0?
In what terms?
In winning a random season of The Genius, where he comes in not feeling potentially like he's already proven himself and that he's the man and he has this alliance already set up for him and everyone wants to give him the token of life.
Well, I don't know if he is a worse player on this season. It's just maybe the cast that he's playing with is a lot more impressive, and so he stands out less by comparison. But maybe there is something to it where he gets a bit overconfident after his first season, but now this would be enough to knock him down a peg. And so if he came back for a third season, then maybe you'd see like the old first season Hyunmin rear his head again.
Yeah. Where does Hyunmin line up for you as far as all-time best Genius players, purely in terms not of TV terms, but as far as winning a season of The Genius?
See, preseason I had him as either number two or number one, and I said an older version of Hyunmin would be almost a lock for number one. Now I'm not so sure. I think obviously with age he would improve a lot, but we've seen so much good stuff from Dongmin this season and from a few other players. I think he would be, I mean, it's hard to dock him too many points. Like, he'd still be in the top five for sure, but maybe he's like three or four, maybe even five now, as opposed to one or two.
For me at least, it seems like we're trending more and more towards the direction of a lot of cerebral main matches and death matches, particularly in seasons three and four. And if we get a season five, I would expect that trend to continue. I think in what I'm going to call the modern era of The Genius, Hyunmin has the number two equity of all time, purely because he is so good in that environment where he gets to really press his edge when it comes to actually being able to calculate things.
Well, so based on what we've seen this season, does he still have that edge? Because at what point do you conclude that his season three performance was a fluke and his season four performance is more of the standard that we would expect from him?
I think a lot of things really did not break Hyunmin's way in season four. And granted, a lot of things really did break Hyunmin's way in season three. But I think consistently the entire time, he was quite capable, I would say, with actually figuring out at least a game plan that makes a lot of sense for the main match. And for, you know, in the fish shop, he got out leveled, and that's totally fine. That's going to happen from time to time. But generally speaking, I would only have Dongmin ahead of Hyunmin as far as being able to. So I feel like Hyunmin's going deep all the time, second only to Dongmin, and is going to be able to hold his own in death matches, probably against virtually any competition. I know he did end up losing here. But I don't think that's going to happen every time, even against someone as talented as Dongmin.
That's true, but I think his biggest failure this season was when he was working with Dongmin and he was overtaken by like Dr. Yunsung and Junsok, who just seemed to run circles around him, even though they didn't have the same pedigree.
I don't know if I would qualify one episode of getting out-leveled by one level as getting run circles around by Junsok and Dr. Yunsung.
Yeah, I guess, although... I don't know. It feels like when he did badly this season, he did really badly. And then when he didn't do badly, he was only okay. It's like the mirror image of a season 3 where when he was good, he was really good. And everywhere else, he was fine. Like, this is the reverse of that, where the troughs were really deep and the peaks weren't that high.
Okay. Well, don't we say the first thing, though, about Sangmin, too, where it's hard to even top Sangmin when he's on form. Or when he's in form? What is it?
On form, I think?
I don't know. Point being, it's hard to really top him whenever he's doing whatever that is, but also he can have some really bad episodes, like just completely miss the point from time to time.
He can, and so can Dongmin, we've seen that before too, but right. With Hyunmin, that's starting to look more and more regular, which is not a good sign.
But I would, yeah, okay, that's definitely fair, like certainly it's not what you want to be seeing in a player going ahead, but I'm willing to give passes, especially in an environment as probably taxing as the Genius I would imagine is.
Yeah, and it's sad now that we won't get to see how many snow globes he would have got in the finals, but maybe that is another deficiency in Hyunmin's game, where if he is going to be playing second fiddle to one person a lot of the time, then that person is going to get most of the support from the previous contestants.
Yeah, I would guess, and this is, again, obviously just a guess, I feel like Hyunmin would have gotten blown out in snow globes, by which I mean like 7-4 or greater disparity against either of Dongmin or Kyunghoon.
That is a bold call right there. Although, you might be right. I don't know.
I would definitely, if I'm getting even money, I would say the disparity is at least 3. Yeah. All right. Certainly, on his way out, sad to see him cry. Tugs at the heartstrings one last time. It was actually really funny where the voiceover Hyung was talking about, or I guess it's still the bandage Hyung, theoretically, talking about how Hyunmin is going to learn from this experience and go on to be a great adult. I really thought that was an interesting kind of one of those fun peeks into Korean culture. Yeah. But certainly, end of the day, obviously was in love with having Hyunmin back for this season. I don't think it would have been a good cast without him. I think he was one of the 4 people they had to bring back, and really, really loved everything we got out of Hyunmin. All right, Dom, the finals are set. We have here Dongmin against Kyunghoon. Kyunghoon has slayed the first 2 kings. He now meets the final boss in the finals. What are our projections going to be?
So I think the first thing to consider is the snow globes. So going down the list now, I think we can make some pretty, well, we can try to make some pretty firm predictions about what we expect from these. So going down the list, I think Junghyun is a lock for Dongmin. We both agreed on that.
Lock of the decade. I am not more confident about anyone than Junghyun voting for Dongmin.
Yeah, I think Yeowan is, you've put him as a lean for Kyunghoon. I actually think he's fairly strong for Kyunghoon.
Okay, I could definitely see that. I think Yeowan could be part of this potential F society contingent here, where Yeowan and Yuyun down the line maybe think Dongmin, enough is enough of the Dongmin show.
Yeah, and so Sangmin, before he came back for episode 10, I would have put him in the Kyunghoon column, but now I'm not so sure. Like, they seem to have this kind of playful banter still, but, you know, Sangmin did come in there looking to eliminate Kyunghoon, so I don't know if that still holds or not.
I would say he would definitely give it to Kyunghoon over Hyunmin, or at least that would be my prediction. I think when it's Dongmin as the other option, he's going to give it to his good friend and close ally, Dongmin, and it's going to break Kyunghoon's heart.
Yeah, and Dongmin, who constantly tried to save him as well. So,
Yeah,
I think he is pretty firmly in the Dongmin column, although I wouldn't be shocked to see him go back to Kyunghoon.
I would be pretty shocked. I think he's in on Dongmin. Yeah. Lawyer Yunsun, I think she could also be part of this F Society group here, and I think she could go Kyunghoon.
Yeah, I don't think she has any great attachment for Kyunghoon, but then I don't think she has one for Dongmin either, so I think, yeah, she would want to be on the other side of the crowd, if you like, and go with Kyunghoon. Although, having said that, it's interesting because after she was never really in any majority alliance at all for her stint on the season, maybe she would actually want to be with the group for once. And if the group's going for Dongwin, then maybe she tags along with it.
Potentially. Incidentally, I meant to bring this up. What are the odds that Yeowon doesn't show up? I feel like it's more than likely.
I feel like I saw him in the preview clip. So pretty low. But yeah, in the dark, I'd say if anyone was going to miss it for non-work-related reasons, it would be Yeowon.
Yeah, which, lit $5 on fire. I totally would have bet on that.
To be fair, given that he's just had a kid, is understandable, but even so.
Yeah, congratulations, by the way. We never brought that up on air to Yeowon and Gion Nuna.
Yeah, I wonder what it's going to be called.
Jinho, I hope. No, their second kid's got to be called Jinho. Yeah, all right. So Yuyun, I think, kind of in the same boat here. I think he is a strong lean for Kyunghoon, if not a lock for Kyunghoon.
Okay, so my question is, I expected him to go for Hyunmin the first time and he went for Dongmin. Do you think he would just do that again, or is there some other mitigating factor here?
It's really, really tough to say. Like, we once again just didn't see all that much out of Yuyun. And unfortunately, I don't speak Korean, and translating his tweets is kind of a bitch, so I don't do it that often. It's not that, it's two clicks, but I'm just lazy. So I'm really not sure what he's been thinking. But I just, for some reason, I just feel like he's not going to be into the idea of Dongmin just steamrolling again.
I think, like, as a gamer, he would respect that achievement if it happened.
I agree, but I feel like as kind of like a fan of the game and the show, The Genius, he would want to see Kyunghoon win.
Maybe. It's weird because the two of them had this very strange relationship where Yuhyun just like batted Kyunghoon away whenever he tried to talk to him in the first few episodes. And then episode 4, suddenly they have this secret alliance that almost carries them to a victory. And then episode 5, they're back to just not talking to each other again. So I don't know what's going on there, but I think Yuhyun would be kind of bemused but also respectful of the way that Kyunghoon has somehow managed to make it this far.
Yeah, you know what, you've talked me into it. I could see him at least potentially going Dongmin and actually feeling pretty feeling confident about his decision and not even questioning it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your boy Dr. Yunsung then.
Yeah, I think Dr. Yunsung, Jungmoon, and Kyungran are all mortal locks for Dongmin.
Why do you say that for Dr. Yunsung?
I feel like, he picked him to be his partner for Tactical Yute Nori back when he was in that episode 2 deathmatch. He clearly enjoys being around him and liked playing with him in seasons 3 and 4. I feel like he has a ton of respect for him. And it's not to say that he doesn't respect Kyunghoon. And maybe a part of him would kind of want to see the underdog win, so to speak. But I feel like he's going to take it as like a jury vote almost, where like he wants to give it to the person that he feels truly deserves it.
Yeah, and I think you're right about Jungmin. She would definitely go for Dongmin over Kyunghoon. Kyungran, I think, almost certainly would as well. And then Junsuk, I think, is the next lock for Kyunghoon, if anyone else is.
I think he is probably the biggest lock for Kyunghoon.
Yeah, you said that Junghoon might be the biggest lock for Dongmin of anyone. I think Junsuk is the biggest lock for Kyunghoon.
Okay, yeah, the biggest overall lock. He will not be giving it to Dongmin, yeah.
No. And then you've put Jinho down as a strong lean towards Dongmin, which I think I agree with, but explain why.
Well, my first thought was, for the reasons that he gave it to Sangmin in the Season 2 finals, where he said, I wanted to give it to the person who's been the most genius-like, my first gut was...
But by which he means the person who is not Yeowon.
Yeah, well, my gut response to that was, well, of course that must be Dongmin. He's basically controlled the entire game from start to finish. Maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but... He's certainly been the driving force behind almost all of the action in Season 4. But at the same time, Kyunghoon certainly has proven himself more so than anyone else this season. So maybe that's what Jinho will see.
Yeah, and I think in the spirit of a gamer, like Kyunghoon was the one who took him down, so he would have to have some measure of respect for Kyunghoon.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if the same thing may be true for Sangmin, where maybe Jinho... doesn't want someone else to join the winners club. He wants it to just be the three of them.
Well, I guess it's not just anyone, it's Kyunghoon, and depending on how much he respects him, it's like, okay, it's myself, Sangmin, Dongmin, and Kyunghoon, which at this point to me as a viewer does not sound so absurd anymore, but to him maybe it does. That seems like the kind of thing which you only think if you have this prior bias against Kyunghoon, though. Like, if you're thinking that, you weren't voting for him anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think he honestly could go either way.
Yeah, I guess that's possible. I would be betting on Jinho going Dongmin. Hyunmin, I think, is actually, and again, this is something I can't believe I'm saying. Hyunmin, to me, I think, is a Kyunghoon lean here.
Yeah, and Hyunmin, I think, is the most interesting one to discuss, and he's the one that I'm going to be most intrigued to see which way he falls.
I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic, especially if, you know, we saw him work a full season and a half at least closely with Dongmin. If he does give it to Kyunghoon, is there going to be a certain element of like "fuck you" to Dongmin? Is he going? Yeah. It's going to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, even if it's not that, I think it feels that season three was his to win, and he kind of let it slip away. And I don't think he would want to see Dongmin win twice when he wasn't able to win once.
That's a big piece of it. I wonder how much that's going to factor in general. Is maybe some of this is going to get swung by either one way or the other, where Dongmin has already won the game before, and maybe people are going to want to see him win again, and maybe people are going to not want to see him win because he's already had the opportunity. So maybe that'll play a bigger role than we've really been taking into consideration.
Okay, so going down the list, we have Junghoon as a lock for Dongmin, Yeoan leaning towards Kyunghoon, I would say strongly towards Kyunghoon, Sangmin strongly towards Dongmin, Lawyer Yunsung leaning towards Kyunghoon, Yuhyun leaning towards Kyunghoon, Dr. Yunsung as a lock for Dongmin, Jongmin as a lock for Dongmin, Kyungran as a lock for Dongmin, Jeonseok as a lock for Kyunghoon, then Jinho. You put him down as strong lean towards Dongmin. I would say maybe weak lean towards Dongmin. I don't know. We can put a question mark besides him, and then Hyunmin as maybe a lean towards Kyunghoon. So tallying that up quickly, it seems like Dongmin has a very narrow lead, but it could actually swing either way.
Right, exactly. I think right now, my projection is that it is certainly too close to call. And when that's the case, I like to put money on it. So Koss and I have made a bet. We made it actually before we knew who the two finalists were. But we bet that if it was, in fact, this combination of finalists, I have $10 on Dongmin to get more of the snow globes, and he has $10 on Kyunghoon to get at least half of the snow globes.
Okay, I know which side I'm rooting for now.
Well, everyone knew which side you were rooting for forever before they even knew about the bet. All right. Well, Dom, I think let's get to it. Make your call right now. Who you got?
So looking at the games that we have for the finals based on the preview, we have Number Jangi, which is a new game, Mystery Siam, which is another new game, and then Betting Black and White. So Number Jangi, I don't know if it will bear much resemblance to 12 Jangi, which Dongmin has shown that he can be very good in, but it seems to me that when you have these two new games, there are two ways you can think about it. You can either say, well, neither of them have seen it before, so it comes mainly down to intuition, which Dongmin you think would be favored in. Or you can say, well, if there is some aspect of the game that you need to figure out on the fly, then Kyunghoon is going to be better at that. So depending on how well it lends itself to that kind of solution, I think that's going to depend which one of them is going to be good at it. I would say Kyunghoon probably has the edge in Number Jangi, and then Dongmin in Mystery Sign, because that seems to be more like you look at the board, you figure out what's going on, and then you buzz in. And we've seen Dongmin in Gil Hap and some other games be very good at that kind of game. So I think that might split fairly evenly 1-1. And then for Betting Black and White, I would expect Kyunghoon to be good at that, but it's also the kind of game where psychology and getting inside your opponent's head really does play a big role, and Dongmin has shown his expertise there. So I don't know. I'm going to hedge until you've given your answer and then give mine.
I'm tempted to give the numbers edge to Kyunghoon, but I'm wondering how much of his success in death matches this season. I don't question his natural intelligence or like his quickness or how good he can actually be at figuring things out on the fly, but I do think there was a large element in many cases of him studying his face-off because he knew what games he might be playing, whereas that's not going to be the case in this instance. And I do think Dongmin definitely has the edge as far as picking up things quickly and being able to implement like good strategies. But that being said, we've seen Kyunghoon definitely put on, like this episode that we're talking about right now, he was the one who came up with by far the best plan for winning the 10th round. So certainly it wouldn't surprise me at all if Kyunghoon even wins 2-0 here.
Yeah, I also think there's something to be said for, I don't know how big a factor nerves will play, and Kyunghoon doesn't really seem like the type to fold under the pressure, but Dongmin has been here before, and he's won before, so he, you know, this is his natural territory now, and he's not going to be, you know, spooked by like the high stakes or the fact that he might have a chance to like cement his record as the best genius player of all time or anything. He's just going to go in there and do his thing. And I think Kyung-hoon will as well, but if there is one person who like crumbles under the stress, it would be Kyung-hoon.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly cares more than anyone, certainly more than Dongmin, especially after Dongmin's already won before. I think this is the biggest moment of Kyung-hoon's life, and he very much knows it, entering this final, you know, when he walks in the room that day.
Yeah, whereas Dongmin has so much other stuff going on, and he's also cemented the best record of any genius player, regardless of what his reputation comes down as. So I think he's going to be going in there confident, but not really caring overly much, whereas Kyung-hoon has so much invested in this that, yeah, you know, it maybe that could get to him. I don't know.
Yeah, so as for my pick, I think Dongmin, and I want to save this for next week, but I want to put two things out there now before we... I want to save them for next week, frankly, because football's about to start. But I want to put them out there now. First of all, Dongmin is the greatest genius player of all time, regardless of how this goes. It does not make a difference at this point. Secondly, even if Kyung-hoon does go on to win 2-0, he is not even in the conversation for me for greatest genius player of all time. Not that he would be based solely on this performance, but like I wouldn't even have him that high.
But you would have him like top five still, or what?
No, because this is what stands out to me, and this is, you know, the number one thing for me in the genius. My number one thing is stay out of the deathmatch. And maybe that's less of a priority when you're that good at the deathmatch as he seems to be. At the same time, you can't be eliminated if you're not in the deathmatch. And this is a person who has now played 13 main matches. He has gone to the deathmatch in 5 out of those 13.
That is impressive in a way, but also kind of disturbing.
I'm not looking to invest in that, regardless of if he goes on to beat, even if he goes on to throttle Dongmin.
So who have you got then?
I've got Kyung-hoon. I think the story is the number one thing that is making that decision for me, where it just feels so much like a Kyung-hoon win to me. But hey, I'm certainly wrong all the time, so who knows? Who do you have?
Yeah, I would agree with you that Dongmin is the best regardless of what happens this week, and also that Kyung-hoon is probably going to win. And when he does... I said it before, and I'm not as inclined to hyperbole as you are, but how can you top that for the greatest reality TV storyline of all time?
Yeah, as someone tweeted to us the other day, this would be like Natalie Anderson just on crack.
I think this would almost be worse than Natalie Anderson, because for as harsh as we were on her, we were fairly quick to come around, I think. But we were treating Kyung-hoon as a joke for like the first half of the season. And again, in fairness to us, so was everybody else who was watching. But he is actually looking pretty good to win this thing. And when he does, if he does... I will tip my hat to him, because that will be, I think, like I said, how can you even top that? How can you come close to topping that?
No, I mean, I think what it comes down to for me, I was listening to you and Ian last week, and you brought up, is this going to be the greatest season of reality of all time? And while I'm totally on board that the Anderson Cooper versions of The Mole, Big Brother 7, Survivor Kageyan, Heroes versus Villains are all great, and the early genius seasons, to me, this has got to be number one with a bullet, right? And what it comes down to is, even compared to the other three genius seasons, like you said last time, in season one, we have these big iconic moments like the Garnet heist and then like Open Pass that really define the season. And then season two, we have, you know, the fake token of immortality and then God's judgment to, you know, just Sangmin going nuts. Season three, I would say, like you brought up the monorail thing, which is these big immortal moments. I feel like this season has already had like 4 or 5 of those.
Yeah, and the finals could easily stand to be another one.
Yeah. So I am truly, truly thrilled. At the same time, borderline depressed about the fact that there may only be another hour and a half or so of fresh genius content for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and also it struck me that if Bumdi tomorrow said, look, I'm not translating this for you unless you pay me, they would be a rich man or woman right now. They would be, they could retire on an island somewhere for the rest of their lives, because I would pay an exorbitant sum to have this episode in front of me right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dom, any other calls or anything else we want to be getting to before we get out of here and try to sleep our way through until next Wednesday?
Not really. I think this finale has the potential to be absolutely fantastic. I think the season will go down as the greatest, at least in my mind, as the greatest season of reality TV, regardless of the outcome. And it's so great to me that even if we don't get this this perfect storyline of Kyung-hoon being the ultimate Kingslayer, the bad outcome, if you like, is maybe the greatest player to ever play the game going back-to-back and winning the toughest season of All-Stars. So, you know, you can't really be unhappy either way.
Right. I mean, the range of outcomes here is like a literal 10 out of 10 or like a 9 out of 10. Yeah. All right. So I certainly can't wait. Of course, we are going to be back after the premiere. I'm guessing we're going to be doing plenty more genius podcasting even after that. So definitely be subscribing on iTunes. Be tweeting your thoughts and following at Genius Takes. You can, of course, be following Dom at DomHRV. I'm at Colin Stone. That's going to do it for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Take care, everybody.